Grace, mercy, and peace are yours as you and I anticipate the arrival of Emmanuel, the one who is going to be coming, the one whose birth we are about to celebrate. It is in the name of that Lord Jesus Christ that we gather, my dear fellow redeemed. You're going to have a baby? Okay, granted, probably whoever says that is a bit more animated and maybe a little more excited. You've seen the Facebook posts of the dancing, screaming, crying grandmas when they found out that they were about to become a grandma. You're going to have a baby? That's probably a little closer. So you're going to have a baby. Are you excited? I hope so. True, you and I live in a world that has done a pretty good job of trying to convince us that children are nothing but burdens and expenses and get in the way of you making all your plans in life. But that doesn't change what God says. Our Lord and our God still reminds you and me that they are a precious and joyous gift that God gives to us. You going to have a baby? Are you nervous? Possibly. After all, these things don't come with owner's manuals. This is one of those jobs that you kind of learn as you go. And by the time you think you've got it all figured out, well, they're out of college and you're probably pretty much done. You're going to have a baby? Are you scared? Maybe. After all, this is a big deal. One more soul that you are given, a soul that you need to care for and feed and protect and nourish, a soul that you need to make sure grows in the training and instruction of the Lord. You going to have a baby? Perhaps some of you, that's a question that is still lying off in the future. For many of you, that's probably one that you heard a long time ago. And during that 6 months, you go with that question from theory, right? Maybe. At the very beginning, it doesn't look or maybe doesn't feel a whole lot different. Perhaps. Maybe. You go from theory to reality, right? By the time the 9 months are done, you can hardly walk, you can hardly move. You are anticipating the arrival of that little bundle of joy, and you can't wait for that child to come. Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. At least this morning is. You know what comes tonight. For 4 weeks, you and I have been anticipating the arrival of this baby. And he's almost here. As you and I focus our attention on our gospel for this morning, we listen to the angel Gabriel as he talks with Mary. And along with Mary, you and I rejoice that the one who had been promised, the Son of God who had been talked about ever since the Garden of Eden, he's almost here. Who's almost here? Mary's son, God's son. He's almost here. And so Mary finds out that she's going to have a baby. Now, lots of women throughout history have learned that they're going to have a baby. That's not unusual. The happy couple gets married. And as the brand new husband and the brand new wife, under God's grace and guided by His Word, strive to be the kind of husbands and wives that God wants them to be, as time goes on, they also begin to rejoice and desire that other blessing that God gives through marriage, and that's the blessing of the child. How excited they are! How excited they are when that news finally comes that God is going to give them that child that they had been hoping and praying for. Mary finds out that she is about to have a baby, but the way she finds out is not usual. In fact, it's completely unusual. In the 6 month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And then it goes on to describe how the angel has to say, "Do not be afraid." Now I'm going to guess that if suddenly an angel appeared to you and said you are going to have a baby, you might be just a little afraid too. That's not the normal way of learning that there's going to be an addition to the family. Gabriel arrives and announces this amazing message to Mary, and then needs to assure her that there's no reason to be afraid anymore. There's no more reason why she needs to be scared. And to help calm those fears, he gives the message. You are highly favored. The word that's used there is related to our word grace. She was highly favored not because she was so great. She was highly favored not because she was perfect. She was highly favored because God, in His amazing grace, had determined that this was going to be the virgin that He was going to use for this amazing gift that He had been promising all along. You have found favor with God. The Lord is with you. You and I rejoice in that very same promise. We know that our Lord and our Savior is with us no matter what we face, no matter where we're going, good times, bad times, hard times, easy. And yet in Mary's case, the Lord was going to be with her for a very specific purpose to accomplish a very specific task. You are going to conceive and give birth to a son. And you are going to give him the name Jesus, Mary's son. He's almost here. You and I can't wait to celebrate that birth. And yet, as Mary listens to this idea that she is about to have a son, the Lord, through his angel, just keeps right on going. The angel keeps on and he says he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. He will be great. There probably isn't a single parent in this world who is not hoping that his or her son will be great. The moment that that little boy picks up the football, you're hoping that he's the next Aaron Rodgers. The moment that you notice that this person has got some kind of abilities and some business sense, maybe this is the child that's going to take that family business to the next level. We really want our children to be great, and we do a lot of work, and we put in a lot of effort, and we spend a lot of money to make sure that they can be great. Mary's son is going to be great. No question about it. He has to be great. Look at what he's going to do. He's the one who's going to be sitting on David's throne forever. And now you're thinking about the first lesson. Now you're thinking about how God told David that after he rested with his fathers, that there would be a son who would sit on his throne. And perhaps you're thinking of Solomon. But this is one who's going to be great, and his throne is going to endure forever, and his kingdom is never going to end. Mary's son is going to do that. Mary's son is the one who's going to be sitting on David's throne, and his rule does not have any limits, and his kingdom has no boundaries. This is the one who's going to be called the Son of the Most High. You see, the one who's about to come, the one who's almost here, is not just Mary's son, but God's son. A son who is going to be very different from all the other baby boys who have ever been born. Oh, maybe from our point of view, perhaps from the outside, the conception and birth looks like any other. But you and I know that it's going to be completely different. Mary kind of knew that too. And so she asked the question, how will this be since I am a virgin? Mary also understood that this is not going to be a normal child. Very literally, she says, how is this possible since I am not knowing a man? No relations, no child. That's how it works. And yet the angel says that the Spirit is going to come upon her, the power of the Most High will overshadow her, and the one who is to be conceived and born will be called the Son of God. I'm not sure that's an answer. I'm not really sure that after that she still knows how this is going to work. But she's sure it will. She's confident that it will. It has to, because this is God's doing, this is God's gift, this is God's son. He's almost here. And so she just simply announces that she's the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said. And in that amazing confidence, all the fears are set aside. She knows she is in the hand of her Lord and her God. God will take care of her. Mary's son, God's son. And now in a few hours, you and I move into this day that we have been looking forward to for weeks. For as many times as you and I have celebrated Christmas, there is always that anticipation, there is always that excitement, there is always that idea that we just simply cannot wait. We can't wait for that day to come. We can't wait for the family to arrive. We can't wait for all the things that are wrapped up in what Christmas is all about. And so with the same confidence that Mary had, knowing that our Lord and our God is with us, you and I rejoice this morning as we still prepare to celebrate His birth that He's almost here. Mary's son, God's son. He's almost here. And even with that confidence, perhaps there's still some of those lingering doubts, some of those lingering fears that we are going to carry into Christmas. Perhaps there's the doubt that I'm really forgiven. The whole naughty and nice thing, kind of a big deal this time of year. All that constant reminders in almost every commercial of whether you're naughty or nice and maybe trying to convince you that it really doesn't make any difference anymore. And maybe we shouldn't be so worried about Santa's list. Does God keep a list? Does our Lord and our God keep a list of who's naughty and who's nice? If He does that, you know the passage, O Lord, have You kept a record of sins? Who could stand? Am I really forgiven? Is this message still relevant? Does it still have some meaning? I mean, we've been hearing this message ever since we were the little ones sitting up here in front of church. Is this just some time-honored tradition? Is just this something that you and I do to kind of relive the good old days? Is that all this is? Is it me? Is it meant for me? Can I be confident in what is about to take place? Satan loves doubts. He would love to get you to think about doubts. He'd love to distract you with the whole naughty and nice thing. He'd love to distract you with everything else that's going on so that you stop thinking about the one who's almost here. Because he knows that as soon as there's doubts and as soon as there are distractions, then we're not thinking about Jesus anymore. We're not thinking about God's son, Mary's son. We're busy thinking about me and what I got to do and what I'm feeling. And then we're lost. But you have the same thing that Mary had. You're also able to say, the Lord's servant, let it be to me as you have said, no matter what the setting is that you have in life. Because the very same thing that gives you confidence and removes all of the fears is the same promises. You remember the words from Romans chapter 10. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing comes from the word of Christ. As you hear that precious word, as you listen to those gospel promises again and again and again, that's what removes the doubts. That's what removes the fears. And that's what fills you with this excitement that He's almost here. Every promise is kept. And we're about to hear it again. What is it that removes the fears? Your baptism. At your baptism, you are connected to everything that Jesus did. You get the credit for everything that Mary's son, God's son, the one who's almost here, you get the credit for everything that He did. You are identified with Him. He's now your sin. You are His perfection. That removes all the fear. What removes the doubts? Regular attendance at that table. For there are those times when perhaps you feel that you are just part of a faceless mass of humanity. Perhaps you are wondering if you have gotten lost in the shuffle. The precious supper is where God's Son, Mary's Son, comes to you. You. That's a singular. Comes to you and lets you know that the one who's almost here came for you to take your sin away, to assure you of the gift of heaven, to say, this is my body for you and this is my blood for you, so that you know that the reason he came is so that you can be with him. He's almost here. We can't wait. Mary's son, God's son. And now that you and I have this final step in our preparation, we come back here in just a few hours, and we can't wait for tonight, and we can't wait for tomorrow morning. He's almost here. Amen.